Hey, good morning, everyone. I'm Drew Mariani, sitting in for what was formerly the Patrick Madrid Show. Never heard of the guy, but I guarantee you, I'll do a much better job. It's great to be here with you. Happy April Fool's Day.
Works every time.
Love it.
How much did you have to pay Drew to do that?
I can't say.
Probably nothing.
Nothing. He's very happy to do it.
I'll be happy to do that. So I have to reciprocate for next April Fool's Day.
That's not a bad idea.
You just rickrolled everybody. People don't realize you've been rickrolled. Okay. An hour to go. It's going to go fast. 888-914-9149. That number is sponsored by Catholic Order of Foresters. Check them out. 888-914-9149. Let's go to Mike in Sterling Heights, Michigan. Hello, Mike, and welcome. You got a bad feeling? He dropped.
He came on and heard this song and immediately hung up.
Yeah. I'm not going to be on this program after rickrolling.
I'm not playing this.
No, I think I know what happened. People are waiting. And when it's finally their turn, they're so flustered and they're scrambling to turn off the Bluetooth or turn off the speakerphone that they accidentally hang up. You can hear them scrambling. it's okay, though. 88, call back. 888-914-9149. We'll go to Julie now in Portland, Maine. Good morning, Julie.
Good morning, Patrick. My question... super quick before my question, I will say, if someone is young listening, we were all young and made bad choices at one point in our lives. And if you want to get some kind of tattoo on like your neck or chest area or shoulders or arms, and you want to get married someday in a beautiful wedding gown, please don't get a tattoo because it looks absolutely ghastly.
Good point.
You've got this beautiful wedding dress on, you know, and whether it's an off the shoulder or, you know, just don't. I'm 55.
That is a good point. Yes, indeed.
Yeah, it looks really terrible.
Yeah.
So anyway, my question was about, you know, in terms of the Shroud of Turin, which I happen to believe is the true shroud. I don't think
as
it's a fake. I don't think it was painted. I believe it's true. Yes.
I agree.
So in the readings for Easter, it dawned on me in John 20, verse 6 and 7, you know, when they talk about Simon Peter running to the tomb, and it says he saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus's head. Mm-hmm. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen.
Right.
And the light bulb went on, and I'm like, oh, if the head cloth was separate from the rest of the linen, how is the Shroud of Turin, you know, one piece from his head to toe?
Mm-hmm. Well, this is sometimes translated into English as the napkin. Sudarium is, I believe, the word for that. But it could easily have been wrapped. So let's say, first of all, the body is in the burial cloth. Imagine a long piece of cloth that might be, say, 12, 13, 14 feet long and perhaps 3 or 4 feet wide. They would place the body, say, on his back, on the cloth, where the feet would be near one end of that long piece of cloth, and then the other side would be folded over the body again so that it would, like a poncho, but there'd be no place for the head to protrude. It would cover the head all the way to the feet. And when the body was wound with these linen strips, you know, the winding cloths, then the napkin could have been placed over that, or it could have been inside that, but I think that it's placed over that. And that's what's referred to as the piece of linen that was separate from the main body, which in the case of the shroud would make sense, because then it would be an entire image of the body head to toe on the shroud. And then on top or around the head outside of that, as I understand it, would be the sudarium, that would be the cloth that was wrapped around the head.
So it's in addition to, I think it's where it says separate from the linen that it was confusing. You know what I mean? But if it's in addition to, separate, but in addition to, that makes more sense.
Yeah, that's my perception of it. And I've even seen illustrations of this before, which show you know, it was a really intricate thing that was done. And we had in the readings about 100 pounds of spices and aloes that were brought. I mean, this was a very elaborate process of preparing the body for burial. And so the custom involving the winding shroud and all of that, which, by the way, interestingly, and you may already know this, but I've always thought this was striking, is that we're told in the infancy narratives of the Gospels that the Lord, when he was born, was wrapped in swaddling clothes. Swaddling clothes means winding clothes. It would wind tightly around the baby to keep him feeling snug and secure and warm. He couldn't wiggle around. And it's the same kind of cloth, but obviously for a different purpose, that they would wind the body in after death. So it's an interesting and moving connection in my mind to see the same kind of garment that the Lord wore when he was just born as the same kind that the body wore when he died. Now, that would be true of any child or any person. It's not unique to Jesus. But when you consider that he came into this world to save us by dying on the cross, it has an extra meaning, if you ask me.
Interesting. And wouldn't that be something if we had the swaddling cloth that he was swaddled in when he was born? Wouldn't that be something?
That would be amazing, yeah. Well, who knows what scientists may discover at some point. I'm just glad that we have the shroud.
Yes, yes. And ladies, don't get those tattoos. Just don't do it.
We've turned into the tattoo police, I guess, now. But why do you think, Julie, that tattoos are so popular? As long as I've got you. I mean, young women in general seem to really at least are accepting of tattoos. They don't find them abhorrent, I don't think. What is your take on that? Why do you think this generation really likes tattoos so much?
Well, I'm a nurse, and I can tell you from my, you know, sort of hospital bedside patient experiences, you know, nurses and patients can become very close. They share things about their lives with you. And even just from people that I know in my own personal life, mm-hmm. Patrick, generally, and this is, you know, this is just generally, this is not mm-hmm. everyone, of course, but yeah. most of the people that I have encountered that have numerous tattoos and piercings have had very, very difficult lives, right? Yeah. Very troubled childhoods, very difficult things that they've gone through, a lot of trauma. Obviously, you know, we all know, I think tattoos became more popular originally in prisons, right? I mean, it was your prison gang became your family and you would get those facial tattoos. And
in military,
I think it's just, well, obviously people in the military go through very painful things as well, right? Psychologically, there's a lot of psychological trauma there. And it's a cultural thing to get a tattoo of your, like the other caller said, of your buddies that have died. Right. I mean, that's obviously traumatic. But people outside of the military, the common thread, not for every single person, but a very common thread is this very difficult, troubled life. And it seems to be a way to, the patients have described to me at least, you know, of expressing themselves and reminding themselves of who they are, right? Mm-hmm. As a reminder, because they've had this difficult life. And rather than somebody in their family or a friend or anybody in their life saying, hey, there's this guy named Jesus and he's the person that you should turn to for your identity and for who you are. And in times of difficulty, they look around in the world and they say, oh, I'm going to get this tattoo that I can look at every day to remind myself that I'm a strong person or I've endured this. So that sort of seems to be the common thread is people who are very, you know, psychologically.
Now that makes sense to me. That makes, what you're saying makes complete sense to me for men, especially. But what about women? What about women who have not been in the military? And it's not about enduring some terrible hardship that they commemorate, mm-hmm. but they're just young women, middle-aged women. I mean, there are plenty of middle-aged women and maybe even older for all I know who get the tattoo on the calf or on the instep of their foot mm-hmm. or what is that? So that's coming at it from a different angle. Now it's not shared experience in the military or some shared experience under duress, but it's something different from that. And I don't really understand it. And I'd like to learn. I'd like to know what it is that draws people to that.
Well, Yeah, I do have one friend who is an exceptionally happy person, had a very happy childhood, hasn't had any of those any of those experiences. And she has a very large tattoo that covers almost the entirety of her low back. Mm. And she put it there because she saw it as a beautiful work of art. And it's just
that she can't even see, though, unless she's like craning her neck in a mirror to see it.
She knows it's there. Right. And she just loved the artwork aspect of it. And it represented, I don't want to get too personal. I don't want to give her away, but I don't even think she listens to the program, but in any case, it was just, when you think of somebody who's into spiritual things or Buddhism or, things of that nature, just a reminder of that aspect of her life that she appreciates and likes to share with other people. So, yeah. And I do think, Patrick, as it becomes more common in the culture for people who get it done under either duress or as a trauma or that type of thing, just as it becomes more common in general, even somebody who hasn't gone through those things might just be prompted to think, well, all these people have these tattoos. I can get a tattoo to express my art or something that is important to me in my life, just because it's becoming more common in general. So that's just my thought on the matter.
I'm open to all sorts of ideas. What do you think about Cyrus's theory that because it's so popular now that the pendulum will swing back in the direction where to be truly countercultural and to be a real rebel, you'll rebel against the status quo and not get a tattoo as a sign of your rebellion? Do you think that's possible?
Absolutely. I'm actually fairly involved in politics, and we see pendulums swinging about, for all sorts of things. And I think that's very possible. And in my work as a nurse, I had a patient who underwent a cesarean section, and her biggest concern was that the doctor, sew her back together so that her low abdominal tattoo was put back together properly. And the surgeon, the OB was like, "I'm sorry, I'll try, but I don't know that I can." And I think as those people get older, right? I mean, Cyrus had mentioned as you get older, or I think one of the callers mentioned, as you get older and you become, let's face it, saggy and less muscular and all those things, those tattoos just don't look right.
That's a discreet way of explaining it, yeah.
I'm a nurse, right? I can say that. So, but it's true. And I do think as though, like Cyrus said, as those grandkids go to visit those grandparents, I can see the grandparents being like, "Oh, don't do it. Cause by the time you're my age, it's going to look terrible." Anyway.
It'll look different. Well, that is an interesting, and so you're a nurse, Julie, you see this kind of stuff once, right?
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. And you had another caller who talked about starting IVs on people who have, say, like sleeve tattoos on their arms. And I will just chime in on that. That is true. And I don't know what it is. I don't know if it has to do with the ink. I don't know if it has to do with the, so much needlework on the arm, to inject the ink into the skin. But I have seen that as well, that it can be much tougher to start IVs in the arms of people who have like those sleeve tattoos. Yeah, I don't know what that is. Yep.
Yeah. So what final question for, as long as I'm talking to, man and woman on the street, you're the head nurse in the hospital and you're going to be hiring some new nurses, and a nurse comes in, man or woman, and you see the sleeve on the arm or arms and or other tattoos. What's your initial reaction, not knowing anything else about this woman or man? You just know that he or she's applying for a job as a nurse and you're the hiring nurse. What's your initial reaction when you see the tattoos? Good, bad, or indifferent?
Personally, bad, but that's personal. That now, in terms of hiring them to work in the healthcare field and to be a nurse, it's a little bit different, because my initial thought is, wow, this person has maybe been through some tough stuff, maybe, and that would maybe make them resilient or make them a compassionate nurse.
Okay. So that's an interesting take.
But my personal opinion would be like, ew. It's just, me personally. But again, when it comes to working in the healthcare field, you see some tough stuff. And so if you're looking to hire somebody who's had perhaps a shared experience of some, difficulties and traumas, that can actually be a plus when it comes to being a healthcare provider or nurse. So.
What about piercings? So same scenario, you're the hiring head nurse, and let's say a female nurse candidate comes in and she's got a pierced nose and maybe a pierced tongue or a pierced lip. Do you draw any conclusions at first glance without knowing anything else about the person?
Piercings, my first impression would be no, because I would think of, okay, how would other patients view this? You know, these are patients that are sick or traumatized or, you know, in some way injured.
Let's say a nose ring. I know they're popular now. Almost like an ox would have a nose ring at the bottom of the nose. I know those are becoming more popular, I guess. So I want to give you like a specific example. Nurse comes in, she's got a nose ring. What is your instant? And I'm not trying to suggest one way or the other. I'm just really curious. Does it move the needle in the negative direction or the positive direction, or is it just neutral based upon your perception of this person at first glance?
If it's like a little piercing on the side, like an earring, right? Like a little stud, like on the side, I don't think I'd think twice about it. But the type you're talking about, like underneath, like a ring, I think it would be negative. And to be honest with you, Patrick, it's a really interesting point. I don't even know why, but it would, if it came down to perhaps that person and another hiree that are exactly the same, you know, as much as two people can be the same on paper, I'd probably go with the person without, and I'd have to think about why, but there is something about it.
I agree with you. I'd like to test my theory out here and tell me what you think. My theory is that it raises the question of judgment. Does this person have good judgment? That'd be the first thing I would wonder about, because often these things can be a monument to poor judgment at one time in one's life. The other thing that I would immediately wonder about is this person easily influenced? Because it seems like he or she is easily influenced by the culture to do something like that. And I could be wrong on both counts for any given person, but those would be the first two questions that would pop up in my mind. You know, is this a testimony to bad judgment? And what kind of, you know, poor judgment might somebody make in a job like this? And the other one is, how easily influenced is this person to do something like that? Now, I may be the only one who wonders about that, but those would be the two questions I would wonder about.
Yeah, I think, I mean, we've all had bad judgment. You know, we all do things in our youth and sometimes not so youth. But, it may just be a matter of someone might just like it. They might just think it's pretty or attractive, or it might just be their personal preference. Me personally, I'd wonder why, because it's not my personal preference, right? I don't think it's attractive. I don't necessarily think it's a good thing to do. But, you know, I guess if they're older and they pierced their nose like that when they were, say, 18, you know, down in Cancun on spring break with friends in a weak moment, right? I guess you could say, well, now you're 40. Why are you? You could just take the earring out or the ring out and not wear it.
Hopefully they can come out. So, hopefully it's not a permanent thing.
Right. So.
Good enough. Well, thank you for weighing in on that, Julie. I appreciate that. And the fact that you're a nurse,
you know,
adds another dimension of interesting angle on that. Thank you for that. Thank you. We're coming right back. If you get a busy signal when you call 888-914-9149, just hit redial. We'll get you in there. This is the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio. Today, we'd like to thank Viviana, who is listening in California, for donating her 1975 Mercedes-Benz 450. That's elegant. You can join thousands of other listeners in donating old vehicles, trucks, boats, and RVs by visiting relevantradio.com/car. That's relevantradio.com/car.
Come on down. The Patrick Madrid Show. Why, it's the best deal in town. Free delivery.
Okay, hey, Cyrus, I have a note here that came in from Angela just a few moments ago. I'd like to read that. It's on the tattoo topic. Patrick, I have several visible tattoos on my arms that I chose to get as a 40-plus-year-old adult woman. I chose to get these tattoos as a way to artistically represent on my body various aspects of my life that are important to me. I did not have a troubled life, and I am a devout daily mass, daily prayer Catholic. That's great. I find all the tattoo criticism today to be hurtful, particularly the woman who repeatedly said that tattoos look atrocious in a wedding dress. That kind of talk comes dangerously close to the mean-spirited judgmentalness non-Christian cite when they speak of why they are turned off to Christianity and should have no place on your show. Thank you, Angela. And then she follows up with a P.S. saying, P.S., I'm a lawyer. Okay. I'm not sure what the lawyer part means, Angela, but I do appreciate the fact that you took time to write to me. I really do. I just would like to know, on the one hand, that you're complaining about people expressing their disagreement with tattoos, and you're expressing your complaint about them saying what they think. So in other words, it's kind of like a two-way street here, isn't it? I mean, if you're free, and you are, obviously, to write a letter critical of what you're hearing because you don't like it, I mean, why is it wrong for them to be critical of something else and express that?
I wonder if she covers up those tattoos when she's in the court in front of the judge.
That's an interesting question. I don't know. She didn't mention. But I think that's a reasonable question. That's fair enough. And to the extent that you're offended by the discussion on tattoos, Angela, I'm sincerely sorry that it offended you. It certainly wasn't intended to do so. But it definitely has a place on this program. Because, first of all, this is a widespread phenomenon, as you yourself are participating in. This is a widespread phenomenon in our culture, and people have strong opinions, not all of whom are, you know, in agreement. But I would just point out, with all respect, that if it's okay for you to criticize other people for their opinion on this issue, why is it not okay for them to criticize your opinion on this issue? You see what I'm saying? It's a two-way street. And it does indeed have a place to play on a radio program like this, because we're exploring everything from motivation to the effects. Are there spiritual dimensions to this? Obviously, there are people who agree or don't agree. But, I mean, it's a very worthy topic that is timely and affects a lot of people just like you. So once again, thank you for writing to me. I am sorry that you're offended, and I'm sincere in saying that, but I would propose that maybe this might be a catalyst for you and for others to reconsider, or at least to think about it in the abstract. It's not an attack on you. It's a discussion of something that's real and important to a lot of people. And what better kind of topic to talk about on a program like this than that? So thank you. Let's go to Jolene in Ohio. Good morning, Jolene.
Good morning. So I wanted to give you perspective from like a woman who grew up with parents who have tattoos and, and from the culture that I came from. So I come from a biker culture. So not from, well, my stepdad was military, but, he was, you know, rode motorcycles. My mother rode motorcycles. My father rode motorcycles too, but he had no tattoos. My mom and my stepdad did. Okay. And I grew up around with people with tattoos my whole life. And so my dad wasn't a fan, but he wasn't like against people who had them. And so I started thinking about tattoos at 20. But I waited until I truly felt that it was the right time, the right tattoo. You know, I wanted everything. I wanted to be sure in my mind that I was doing the right thing. So I got my first tattoo at 40. So you can understand how long it took me. I thought about it almost like daily about when or why or how or should I get a tattoo. Mm-hmm. And so the tattoo on my shoulder is three cherry blossoms. My mother-in-law passed away. I have three daughters. And so each flower represents a daughter and represents my mother-in-law. Okay. And then I got a flower on my hip with a safety pin through it because my mother's tattoos, she has two roses on her shoulder and she has a safety pin on her hip. And those are the only two that she has. The safety pin is because when I was 1 year old, she was hit by a drunk driver. The drunk driver died instantly and my mother was paralyzed from the neck down. The doctor said she would never, you know, walk again, but she said God showed her that she would walk again in a dream. And so she fought to walk again. And so she didn't get her tattoo. She thought about hers for a very long time as well until she was in her 30s. And so she got the tattoo at the top of her scar. She has a titanium rod in her leg. And so she got her tattoo at the top of her scar on her leg, and it's a safety pin in her leg at the top with a couple little blood drops, you know, and it's kind of cheeky and it's kind of cute, right. But it represents that healing process.
So let me ask you a question, Jolene. Is this, and I think I'm gleaning from what you're saying, that you see a value and a purpose that's good in tattoos like this. Has your or her tattoo, maybe you probably can't judge for her, has your tattoo ever been in any way a barrier to you in life, or has it not been a barrier to, you know, getting a job or anything like that? Have you ever noticed anything like that?
And I'm going to explain why, because one rule my mother had for us, I carried over into my adulthood, was you place your tattoos in a feminine place where you can cover them. And then you reveal them only when you want and only, you know. So if I wear a tank top that has like a, you know, a V back and I want to show them, I can, but I can cover them. And that's my rule for my children as well. And culturally as well, I married a Filipino man. So my daughters are Filipino and Hispanic, and they desire to get cultural tattoos when they get older as well. My oldest daughter, she has been talking about wanting a tattoo since she was 12 years old. Her father has tattoos, and his are very cultural. His are very ethnic. Mm-hmm.
And what do they mean? And this is my question, Jolene. Thank you for the detail. Obviously a tattoo is a message that the person wearing a tattoo is sending. You explained the one for you, the injury and the safety pin and all that, and I appreciate that detail. Generally, what is it about a tattoo that's necessary to express it that way? Why can't people just express their message through how they act and what they say and, you know, what they produce? And so what is the need for a tattoo to do that? And that's one of the things that I wonder about, because I don't have a tattoo. I wonder, what is the message intended?
I feel like it's just a healing process for a lot of people. Like I said, for me, it was a way to either honor somebody. My husband's parents passed away, and so he has, because he's, you know, he has a dragon around a clock for his parents and with their times of death. And he also has the yin yang on his shoulder in the dragon form, which also is cultural for him. So, you know, I think it has a lot to do with that. But my daughter, who just got hers done, I said, Laura, you know, why did you choose your tattoo? She doesn't wear jewelry. She doesn't wear necklaces or rings or anything. And so she has a cross behind her ear. And she said, I want people to know that this is my faith, and this is that I want people to know that Christ is my savior. And this is a permanent way to show people that when I lift my hair up, they can see it. But when I need to cover my tattoo to be modest, I can cover my tattoo to be modest.
Fair enough. And I think that's an admirable motive. No doubt about that. But I'll just, if I may press my point, forgive me. Uh-huh. Why is that necessary to do that, rather than just simply live your faith publicly and people will know by how you live and what you say and how you act? Why is it necessary to have a tattoo?
I don't think it's necessary. I think it's just a beautiful way that we express our love for the artwork. We're all artists in my family. I feel that tattooing is just a beautiful form of art. And in addition, you know, I was a hiring manager. And the only time that I was really kind of creeped out, because I wanted to go on Julie's statement, was neck tattoos and face tattoos. But if somebody had, like, you know, arm tattoos, I didn't really worry about it. So when I used to train my students, I would tell them, don't get the neck tattoos, don't get the face tattoos.
So for you, okay, now this is interesting. For you as someone who genuinely appreciates and likes tattoos and you have a family history of it, where is that dividing line and why when it comes to a tattoo, let's say of a cross behind the ear or shoulder, wherever it may be, versus a tattoo on the face or the hands or something like that? What's the difference in your mind as a hiring manager when you see that kind of tattoo?
So when I used to hire because I worked at a college. So when I used to hire teachers, I think it has something to do with my mother saying, you know, your modesty when covering as a woman. But also I think it has a lot to do with, I knew the culture at the time, you know, mm-hmm. and that people, I was always told when hiring, you know, that you wanted people that couldn't have visible tattoos. So I think that got ingrained in me. And okay. so then if you can't physically hide them, they would say, you know, and you have somebody teaching in front of the classroom or something like that, and they can't hide a face tattoo or a neck tattoo yeah. or something. Anyone with, you know, sleeves or something could be hidden. And so then they could look professional. So it was all about professionalism in the workplace. And so I think that that was just ingrained in me as like when I was told hiring people that was the reason. So it wasn't that I wanted to judge that person or not. I just knew what the company expected of us. So I would, when I was teaching, because I had to teach as well as run my departments and hire and do all those kind of things. So when I would hire, I would, you know, have to take that into consideration. But when I was teaching the next group of people, I would say, okay, make sure if you're going to get a tattoo or something, it would be covered.
So let me ask this question then. You're raising some really intriguing points. I appreciate it. If it is, and I'm not trying to trap you at all, don't misunderstand. I'm just trying to understand. In order to be professional, one should cover their tattoos, then what does that say about having a tattoo at all? Does that mean that having it is unprofessional, therefore it must be covered up so as to give the impression of being professional? In other words,
now,
if it weren't...
I don't think...
Let me put it this way, because I'm really interested in your answer. Let me play devil's advocate. If there were really nothing wrong with a tattoo in any way whatsoever, why would one need to cover it up to be professional? You know, you see what I'm saying? I mean, it seems to suggest there's something about it that is inherently subpar if it needs to be covered up in a professional setting.
Okay, so let me go to where this is. So back when I was a hiring manager, it was the early 2000s, and this was the culture at the time. So one of the departments was a nursing department.
Jolene, forgive me. I've got to take a break in like 60 seconds,
okay.
But I'm really, really genuinely interested in knowing what you think about that question. If it needs to be covered up in order to be, you know, presentable and professional, then doesn't that suggest that there's something about it that is a problem inherently, that it would need to be covered up in some settings?
Well, I think not anymore. When I was hiring, it was in the 2000s. I think the culture has changed. So now people are hiring regardless because the tattoos are more acceptable.
I see.
So I don't think that exists now, but it did back when I was the hiring manager. So I think that's changed. And I think I'm happy that it's changed because the judgmental part of that has gone away.
I see.
That's what I appreciate. Mm-hmm.
So it's more of in the time since you were a hiring manager, society has progressed to the point where that's no longer a factor if you were to be a hiring manager today. Is that what you mean?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay.
That's what I think.
I understand. That helps me understand.
I don't know.
That helps me understand it. And I really appreciate you calling in today, Jolene. Helpful, 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 helpful. And I'll be right back. Thanks to network sponsor PushPay. PushPay offers parishes a platform for tracking donations and sacraments, overseeing schedules, mobile apps to help manage your administrative load, and much more. Info at relevantradio.com/pushpay. That's relevantradio.com/pushpay.
Welcome back to the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio. Have a question? Give Patrick a call. 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Patrick Madrid on Relevant Radio.
Let's see, two emails back to back. This one from Don in Kentucky. Patrick, I understand the tattoo phenomenon. If I were to get a tattoo, which I would not, he says, it would be something Christian to show that I'm a Christian and maybe have people think about what it means. The ones I see are ugly looking, that really don't make a lot of sense, that really don't make, and I'm trying to decipher this, it really don't make a lot of sense in them, I think he means. I think people get tattoos because others, friends, family, etc., have, and it just spreads because it is the in thing. Well, that may be true, Don. It may very well be true. It's certainly, I think, a very culturally fashionable thing now. It's certainly culturally very popular, no doubt. Here's a note that comes in from Sergeant Brandon in Minnesota. And he says, regarding women's tattoos, maybe I'm wrong, but it seems to me more and more young people feel the need for validation and acceptance. Makes me wonder if it's a sign of these important things missing when growing up in the home. I suppose a new tattoo has a way of making an individual feel unique. Unfortunately, like everything else in this world, the new wears off. That's an interesting insight, Brandon. I appreciate that. Thank you for that. Let's see. Let's go to Peter now in Kentucky. Hi, Peter.
Hello, Peter. Additional perspective on this tattoo conversation.
Yeah.
With it becoming such a more common thing, a lot of converts that are going to be coming into the church are going to be covered in a lot of tattoos. And as we all know, tattoos are forever. And the thing about this is I'm a convert myself, come into the church a couple years ago. And I remember having this thought, I'd come from an intentionally satanic lifestyle for a very long time before I came in. Right. I had really long hair. I think I had 5 piercings at the time. And I was covered in tattoos. And I remember walking into the church the first time and thinking, man, there's nobody here that looks like me at all. And it was just this kind of internal isolated feeling that I created for myself, just a tool of the enemy, of course. But as time went on, the more I prayed about it, there was an opportunity at our cathedral's Oktoberfest a few years ago for I think it was called St. Paul Street Evangelization.
Okay.
And I signed up for it because I was like, yeah, let's do this. And I was like, well, should I be covering my tattoos? And I just had this strong sense, no, you really shouldn't. And as I was there, I started to realize that people were coming up to me and the things that they were saying were like, you're not at all who I expected, to be handing out rosaries here at this Oktoberfest,
You're not a goody two-shoes. You're not the straight-laced person that I would expect to be out here. You're one of us, maybe. Is that another way to put it? Like, we can relate to you. Is that what you mean?
I think that's probably what was going through their mind. But what it was is their image of what a Catholic person handing rosaries out, on the street would look like was not what the person that was in front of them. Mm-hmm. And it came to my attention at that point that this is the good that God would create out of that sort of suffering, this darkness in my life, this stuff. Because these tattoos, they're not good. They're just skulls, grim reapers, blood, mm-hmm. just all sorts of stuff I wish I could get rid of. True regret. Yeah. For a lifestyle that is dead to me now. And yes. The thing about it was, is he made an opportunity, a good opportunity for his will to be done through that darkness. And
I thought it was
such a profound thing.
Yeah, as St. Paul says that all things work for the good for those who love God, that even things that are negative from your past or, as you perceive them to be negative now, they can still, in an odd sort of way, be used for the good. That's a really good insight, Peter.
Yeah, and thank God for that. It's a beautiful thing, and I wanted to share that just because, moving forward, as we know, all these people, they do have everybody I know is getting tattoos anymore, mm-hmm. The younger generation and all that. So your converts, the people that are going to be walking into your church for the first time, even though your whole life you have not seen people with these tattoos, they're going to be coming in, and they might be having those same thoughts that I had when I first walked in there, and that can work for the good or for the benefit. So if we're aware of this, and take off the any sort of bias that we may have towards that, we have an opportunity to make them, feel super welcome when they come in and realize it's not about what's on the outside and just remember, maybe even tell this story, you know, say, look, there was this guy, and then he experienced all these things through the for the benefit of God's will. It's just a perspective I wanted to share, and I've really been enjoying the conversation.
Oh, I'm glad you called in today, Peter. I really am. And you're making an excellent point that, you know, even after the fact, there can still be good that comes from it, even though you wouldn't do it again today. I mean, God can still bring good out of that. That's beautiful.
Right, right.
Well, thanks, Peter. Thank you. I'm glad you enjoyed the program. How about Philip now in Wilmington, North Carolina? Hi, Philip.
Hi, Patrick. Happy Easter to you. God is victorious.
Amen.
Thank you. I really enjoyed Peter's comments there, because God does love diversity. And none of us are cookie cutters in the eyes of God.
True.
So we shouldn't be. I have a Christian Catholic tattoo I got when I was fairly young. I took a gap year before going into college. I decided to live amongst different religious communities, different monks, living with the Trappists, with the Benedictines. And then, you know, I was like, okay, how can I remind myself of that amazing journey, that amazing spiritual journey? So I decided to get a tattoo of the Cairo, of the Greek letters of the P and the X, and then says above, in hoc signo vinces, by this sign you shall conquer, as the vision that Constantine saw while crossing the Moravian Bridge.
I'm familiar with the story.
And with this, with that tattoo, you know, it's covered up. It's on my shoulder. When people look at me, they never think, or the last thing that crosses their mind is, wow, Philip has a tattoo, because it's always covered. And it wasn't until I was in the Marine Corps that this tattoo actually became a nice evangelization tool. My Marines, they're like, well, you know, sir, you're pretty straight cut. It wasn't until that we saw that tattoo of yours that we're like, okay, he has some salt to him.
Yeah, and you know, that's interesting you mentioned that, because when you were describing that a second ago, I thought to myself, so if people look at you and they don't see a tattoo, they have one perception of you, not counting the Marine Corps, what if the same people who had some perception of you because they didn't see that you had a tattoo, if they did see it, would that change their perception of who you are or what kind of person you are? In other words, they had, I'm guessing, a positive perception of you, not knowing that you had a tattoo. Would their perception of you have changed if they did know you had a tattoo?
So I've dated my girlfriend the longest time, and she doesn't have any tattoos. And when she saw my tattoo for the first time, she did look at me funny. She's like, oh, I never thought you had one. I'm like, oh, I guess I never told you. Because you know why? Because where it is and how long I've had it, I forget that's there. But when I do see it, it is a beautiful reminder of where I am in my faith and what got me to where I am in my spiritual life. It was all those brothers, all those sisters, all those Dominican sisters when I went to school who led me to the straight path even when I wandered. So that's why I got in the first place. Even now, in my mid-30s, it's a beautiful reminder. And have I always thought about getting a Marine Corps tattoo of the Eagle, Globe, and Anchor? Yes, sir, Semper Fi. but yeah, you really got to, if you're going to get a tattoo, you really got to really chew on it for several years before you make that commitment. And for it's a personal thing for someone. And what's the intent? What's the purpose? What's the why that you're getting it? And for me, it was a reminder of a way of like, hey, don't forget where you came. This is who you are. Defend the faith when possible.
I understand what you mean. All kinds of interesting perspectives on this tattoo issue, Philip. I'm glad you raised your voice on this issue. Thank you. How about Kim in Alabama now? Good morning, Kim.
Hey, good morning, Patrick. Good morning. I was just going to give you my story from a middle-aged woman in southern Alabama who at 50 years old got my first tattoo on my birthday. It was just, I was in a failing marriage at the time, long-term. Okay. Just thought 50 is a milestone birthday. I'm going to make a change, and I'm going to put this permanent little oriental symbol for strength on my inner ankle, just to kind of remind me that, hey, you can do this. Almost like I'm committing to this. I've got this. Well, yeah. It did not happen at that time, but it was there. And it took me 10 more years before I was able to make my way out of that. In the meantime, I also, and this is really the other perspective I wanted to give, at 59, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. So I had bilateral mastectomies, and I had reconstructive surgery at the time, mainly because I felt like that's what I need to do for those around, so nobody would be uncomfortable, so forth. Four and a half years after that surgery, I was sicker than I had been all along, and I finally came to the realization that I think these implants are making me sick. So I had them removed, and I am like a new person since they've been gone. So I am totally screaming, you know, don't do the reconstructive surgery because it can be bad. But by the meantime, I had scars from, you know, one armpit to the other that was hard to look at. And so I decided I'm going to have something pretty there. So when I look in the mirror, it's okay. So I have some beautiful pink peonies, and now I'm very satisfied. I feel like I took a little control. And so here I am at 60.
So it's more of a cosmetic, I don't know quite the right word. I don't know if that's the right word or not, but to help you through the difficult, especially with the operation, it was a way to help you probably emotionally and psychologically, I would think, right?
Very much so. And there is a big, big community of women in the same situation from all ages that kind of choose to do that same thing. And, you know, they can be very creative. I mean, you know, it's a hard thing to know that that's what you're going to have to look at in the mirror every day. So if you do something that makes that a little bit easier to do, you know, and nobody's going to see it unless you choose for them to see it, you know. So all tattoos aren't bad. This was a very healing one. For me.
I'm really glad, Kim, that you and and the other people who have a positive view of tattoos have added your voices to the conversation, because there are two sides to a coin, and people have different views on this issue. And I mainly am enjoying learning from these different perspectives. I still am not a fan of tattoos, you know. So I mean, don't hate me for that, but I can understand why. Oh, go ahead, Kim.
I was going to say, I appreciate you even having the conversation, because I'm a cradle Catholic, but I had gotten away from the church in my teens and didn't come back till I was almost 50. Mm-hmm. And I've really, in just the last 2 years, really gotten committed. And that was one question that I've asked that I wanted to ask. I haven't asked, is say, what is the Catholic Church's view or overall, you know, thought on tattoos? And I haven't really had the opportunity to do that. So to hear things and to hear people, but I do agree with a lot of the callers that say there's going to be a lot more younger people coming in, and it's just part of their, you know, their culture. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of them do it because everybody else is, you know, I did it, you know, to be able to look at myself, sort of thing.
Let me ask you a question, Kim. I appreciate you making that point there. What if, so you've listened to me on the program or whatnot, what if I was visiting your area and I came to speak at your parish, and I'm wearing a short sleeve shirt, and I have tattoo sleeves on both arms, like all the way to my wrists. Mm-hmm. What would that say to you? What assumptions might you make about me, especially after hearing me talk about, you know, tattoos, as you heard me discuss them? And then a year from now, I come and visit your parish, I give a talk, and you see, now I've got tattoos. What would that tell you? Or what would you think if you saw that?
That's a good question. I'm not sure if I know how to say that. I personally would probably say, you know, let me see what you got and what's the reason behind this one. And I know you have, a want for this. I don't have a problem. I had a grandfather that was in the Navy in World War II, and he's, you know, had all the, the anchors and Hawaiian girls and stuff. You know, I grew up seeing that. I never really wanted one when I was younger. Actually, I have a daughter who got one when she was a teenager, kind of out of the blue, which she totally regret, and I think has even tried to have removed in her older age. But it never bothered me. So I wouldn't probably, you know, I wonder what changed his mind is probably what I would think.
Yeah, I think that'd be the natural impression. People would say, well, wait a minute, something happened. And so isn't it true? This is really part of my thesis, this whole issue, is that it it suggests that there's some meaning intended. It wasn't merely just, hey, let me put a mark on my body. I intend to send a message by that. What is that message? That's what I find intriguing about this. What is the message that someone with the tattoo wants to send? You know, and it's not the same
and
for
I
everybody.
And I do think that's the majority of it. I do think that there are maybe people that go out when they're younger, and I'm kind of thinking of my daughter at this time. There was really no meaning. It wasn't anything purposeful, and she regretted it many years, you know, probably 10 to 15 years later, wishing she hadn't done it. So I think there are people that do it just to be doing it because maybe their friends are doing it. But for the most part, I think seriously, the people that really, you know, get the sleeves and it's painful. It's expensive. You know, it's not just a whim kind of thing, really. So I think the majority of people that are doing that really do have some purpose behind it, and it means something to them, whatever that is, good or bad.
Thanks, Kim. Thank you so much, Kim. What an interesting conversation this has been. My thanks to all of you who have participated either by email. Countless emails have come in the last couple hours, or by phone. I'll look forward to being with you again tomorrow, same Pat time, same Pat channel. I'll pray for you. Please pray for me. Wow.